coming up on TMS, NewDuck.com Comcast,
Stinky Rotten Cabbage Bag,
Utah's hottest available singles,
The Witch, The Wardrobe, and The Wiener.
You'll have no Discovery, no Picard, and no Lieutenant Yar!
Ground Beef and Kimchi Starter Pack.
I think Pee Wee Herman just sold me a newspaper subscription.
What's a lady bro?
Darmok and Jalad at Mount Tumulus.
Raised in a Norman Rockwell painting.
My pronouns are thing and useless.
Rotten Cabbage Fart Sack.
You must construct additional hatchets.
Punching Nazis with Steven.
App slapping Chris Rock and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You're camping. What would be more seductive than to say, oh, you ravishing beauty, come and join me in my fart sack.
Ooh, that's strong, isn't it?
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, March 6th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett.
Who are you calling that?
This.
My pronouns are thing and useless.
Useless. You useless thing. Welcome to the show.
That's right.
Yeah, we're back, everybody. It's been a weekend, and we had our fun. We did our things. We got all our weekend shit done. But it's time to get back on this treadmill known as TMS for the week, and you're all here with us to do it with us. So thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
Kim has been gone less than 24 hours, and most of my life is now ground beef and kimchi, and I'm not kidding. Because that's what I got.
You know what? That's all right. Did she just leave you like a giant container of each and say, mix these for food?
Yeah,
like
kind of.
Sticky note on top.
She didn't actually say to, but I go in the fridge. There's a big thing of ground beef, and it's just...
Already cooked ground beef,
already
right?
done, yep. All I got to do is heat it up in some form.
Ooh, that feels like, that'd be dangerous territory to trust you to thoroughly cook ground beef.
Yeah, don't put me in charge of that. And then next to that is a fresh container of... relatively new kimchi, and I love kimchi and I love ground beef. So what ends up happening is last night I was like, well, I should eat something. If I'm to sustain my existence on this planet, what should I eat? And I thought, well, I could make a big salad. I got like the core leafy greens in a container. I got that if I want. She left me some cooked chicken breast that she cut up that I could use on top of this amazing salad concoction that I'm thinking of. But then as the night went on, I was like, I could just heat up that ground beef and put kimchi on it. So that's what I did.
Nice.
That's what I ate.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually probably better. Regardless, it's better than ordering out.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. For sure. Right. And my goal is to not order out once while she's gone. I'm going to try to stay away from all that stuff, partly because, there's a bunch of reasons. The main reason is it's not good for me. I need to be eating better.
Yeah.
So I'm going to eat what she's left. I'll make combinations thereof. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
This will be, tonight we're going to have kimchi topped with ground beef. Oh, a little bit different.
That sounds really good right now. See, I could do that again.
You're going to Taco Bell the kimchi and ground beef, basically.
I was thinking I might, honestly, the kimchi goes on just about anything. So I'm thinking I might, whatever I do today, we'll probably have kimchi on it. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a stinky, rotten cabbage bag by the time she gets home.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Anyway, while she's off, things are going on here. Things are going on. I want to play something that's kind of terrible. Do you want to hear it? You want to hear this?
With a lead up like that, there's no way I could say no.
As you know, because I found some ancient files and sent one to Brian. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I found it because we thought we had lost his shit retiefter. Clip.
It certainly wouldn't be hard to recover because it was a film sack episode and it'd be very easy to.
We could go get it, right? We could dig it and find it, but it was so much easier to just sort of have the thing. And I found it. It's right here. Let me play it for you.
Shit Gratifter.
All right. So we have the whole thing. I actually have the entire I found the entire clip of that, of your intro.
My lead up to basically my tweet or that was my
intro, I believe.
Intro to Street Fighter.
Street Fighter is, so we're talking like early, what was that, 2010 we did Street Fighter?
back in the day when our intros for Film Sack were like less than a minute long. Like basically it was two sentences or so.
Yeah, they were pretty short then. 2010. Yeah, here it is. August 20th, 2010, we did that.
Chit Gertifter.
Oh, that, and that's Fletcher's version.
And that's Fletcher's version.
Anyway, so I was going through all these files, and I'm finding old photos and just stuff. I'm cleaning out some old drives just to make sure I got things backed up in the places I want them and any missing stuff. And I wanted to just throw stuff away because it's like you forget about an embedded folder, and it's got 100 cool things in it, and you're like, damn it, I can't believe I deleted that. And mm-hmm. You know, most everything's backed up, but it's a giant pain in the ass. I just want
to... Yeah, you don't want to have to search for those things.
No. Plus, I got a bunch of crap and duplicates and stuff like that, so I'm just trying to clean house. So
and 9 times out of 10, when you hook up one of those old like Western Digital My Books to like get all those old backed up files, I was like, oh, I have to upgrade the firmware on the drive to be able to access things.
That's right.
Or I have to.
That's right. And it's annoying. So here's what I did find, though.
Tell me. Show me.
In 2004, I was hired to do voiceover for 2 local commercials.
Okay.
I forgot I did these.
Now, these weren't the rowing commercials that aired during the Olympics or during Super Bowl or something.
No,
like
no. That was 2012, like, and those were totally different. Yeah, those I'm proud of. These?
Okay.
These right, I am not proud of, but I thought they'd be stupid fantastic. Show fodder, so we're going to play them. These are 30-second spots that ran on our local radio market here in 04. This is like prior to... ELR hadn't even started, like nothing had started. This was just me doing shit for people. So the first one, they're both Comcast related things because we were doing some deal for Comcast for one of the companies I knew. Anyway, here's the first one, a February spot for a local dating site that we're also working with Comcast. So anyway, enjoy.
LDS Singles, it's time for the first annual Cupid is Putrid Party this Friday, February 16th at Studio 600. With over 1,000 of Utah's hottest available singles, dance to your favorite music on 3 packed dance floors featuring top 40, country, and 80s. Enjoy karaoke, pool, or just hang out in the Trinity Lounge. Check out the Comcast and LDS Promise booth and make your own free video profile. That's the Cupid is Putrid Party this Friday, February 16th at Studio 600, located at 600 South and Main in downtown Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's. Oh wow. There's
horrendous.
Even so much echo. Like extra 6 seconds of echo at the end of the music. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
did somebody feel like Cupid is putrid is enough of a rhyme to make it a slogan?
Well, good news is I was not in charge of the copy, so I hate it also, and I don't understand it. I never did. Like, it's a terrible name.
Cupid is stupid.
Exactly.
Cupid is putrid.
Putrid and stupid, or sorry, Cupid and putrid don't rhyme. They just don't.
No,
they're lame. So there's that. Now, I found another one. This is, I don't know if this is better or worse, but anyway, here it is.
NewDuck.com and Comcast present NewDuck TV, coming September 29, 2007 to Comcast Digital On Demand.
Must have been later,
sick
that's
of
why.
The same old dating shows? NewDuck TV is different. Shot at some of Utah's best local hotspots, NewDuck TV cuts through the trash and gets right to the fun. Follow couples through all stages of the dating process and see if you can spot the perfect couple. Visit Channel 1, check out On Demand, and watch for NewDuck TV every week. And visit NewDuck.com today. It's free, fun, and full of great singles like you, right here on Comcast.
Ooh, the stinger at the end, Brian.
Wow.
Did you hear that?
That's to cover up the rest of the echo from heaven.
It's so embarrassing. I hate it.
What was the music in the back? That's Chemical Brothers or something.
Is it? I don't know. I hadn't. Let me see.
NewDuck.com and cool hotspots. NewDuck TV cuts.
I mean, it's very Chemical Brothers, isn't it? It's like
it is. I've heard that from another podcast using it as their intro music, or that's a song that I've heard. Somebody help me out. Is anybody? Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody would
not
know.
Merrick recognizes the bass line.
By the way, I still
can you play the first few seconds of that again? Cause I feel like you say calm a bunch of times all in a row.
New duck, calm, dom.
NewDuck.com and Comcast.
I think I said NewDuck.
NewDuck.com and Comcast.
Duck. You never played DuckDuck.com, Brian? Come on, now it's a fun old game.
DuckDuck.com and Comcast.
Yeah, that's so stupid. It's embarrassing. I'm not even sure that was a good take, even. Ugh. By the way, so NewDuck.com, funny story. The company who was doing that at the time, they were doing this big dating thing, and they were trying to, you know, Comcast was the partner on it and all this.
Yeah.
And they eventually, the whole thing just crapped out and didn't work out. So they said, well, we're not going to do anything. We're not renewing this domain. And I said, oh, new, I kind of like that domain. Can you give me newduck.com? And like for totally unrelated, I don't want to do no dating bullshit. I just like the name newduck.com. And they were like,
sure.
Okay, sure. And they transferred it to me. And now it goes to a bunch of drawings I did of ducks if you go to newduck.com.
Oh, right. It was like a new duck every week or something like that.
Yeah, I kind of fell off of it for a while, a couple of years ago. But for...
Yeah, I totally remember that.
I was putting up ducks every day or every other day.
Oh, hilarious. And you know what? Way more appropriate than a name for a dating site.
Agreed, dude.
Yeah. Ah, oh, man, I sure am lonely. What's a good name? What can I search for online that maybe will help me find the love of my life? I know, new duck.
Yep, yep. And if you're a home going, Wayne, does that still exist? newduck.com with all the duck drawings still does. You can still go there. So
sure.
Yeah. But you can't get a date.
Can't get a date unless you want a date with a duck.
Yeah. You can't swipe left or right. And by the way, that reminds me, this would have all been just before the swipe and left and right business.
Oh, sure.
Hit, you know, phones and things. Because this early, like, at least that second spot would have been early iPhone. So we were about to change. The whole landscape of online dating was about to get borked. And we were so late to the game and dumb. I worked for dumb people. I really did. But I was, you know, they were like, well, who does radio things? I'm like, well, I kind of can. Okay, do that. You make that. Like, they were always trying to do stuff on the cheap. They didn't want to hire an outside agency. Yeah. They were just like, well, we'll have Scott do it. That's annoying. Anyway, newduck.com.
I mean, look, we, you know, it's very similar to the if I could use your phone, the health and fitness section kind of stuff. It's like, oh, how much are our actual actors that we could use for this thing? Oh, that's all right. Let's just get Brian to do it.
Yep. I feel like we lived parallel weird 90s corporate lives in a strange way. Except you went to every newspaper in the country. But yeah.
Yeah, it's true. What was your worst job? Like, if you had to look back at, like, oh, my God, the worst job I ever did was.
Oh, geez. Worst job I ever had?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably Chi-Chi's.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. I was in high school. That place, man, they sucked. They weren't good people to work for. And they were, I didn't get fired, but I got asked to leave because, oh, I told you the story about the girl who stabbed the bear in the middle of the night and put ketchup
on it. Yes. Oh, yeah. Left it on your doorstep.
All that stuff. She worked at Chi-Chi's.
Yeah.
And they asked me to voluntarily quit because she was such a pain. So, because she was so like freaking out all the time.
Screwed up. That is such so messed up.
It's completely messed up. And what's weird about it, here's the weird memory I have of it. I had a boss or my direct boss above me who managed the whole back area there, the kitchen and everything. He had a tooth problem where he had to brush his teeth all the time. I don't know what the thing was, like he didn't have natural enamel or something weird like that. But he had some kind of condition where he had to brush his teeth all the time. And so I never had a conversation with that guy, including him saying, we need you to quit so that she'll stop being a freak.
Yeah.
Even that conversation, he's brushing his teeth while he's telling me. He's over there.
Oh, no.
Just telling me. He's like, yeah, we need you to leave. She's weird. And I'm like, you're all freaking weird, man.
Oh, my God. This feels like an Office, you know, a character from the TV show The Office, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Like, it's so, it sucked, dude.
Or
I hated it there.
Monty Python skit or an SNL skit or something. Like, that's Bill. Bill has to constantly brush his teeth or they fall out or something.
My favorite jobs are always for smaller companies. Sure. Like, I liked working. Like, when I did, I worked for a restaurant called Brannigan's. Not Bennigan's. Sounds a lot.
They have the golden arches. We have the golden arts.
I never thought of that before.
Our favorite sandwich right now is the Mount Crisco.
Yeah, the Mount Crisco. Ooh, gross. I don't want the Mount Crisco. That sounds terrible. But it was a fine place, nice people, locals. Like, it was a single restaurant. Like, I liked that because it just felt like you were, I don't know, it just felt like a real down-to-earth kind of thing. Whereas Chi-Chi's was just like, this guy got transferred from Kentucky. He's kind of a dick. Oh, who's the new dude? Oh, and then I watched a guy make a steak and then send it out. And then they came back and said, oh, it's not done enough. So he put it on the floor, rubbed it around, spit on it once, and then cooked it and then sent it back out to the guy. And I'm just like, I don't want to be here anymore. And then finally they asked me to leave. So that was good.
Oh, anyway. So when they asked you to leave, you did leave. Like,
I was like, this sucks. Why am I hanging around here? This is dumb. So I left.
Yeah. Kind of would have stood. Well, I mean, if it was a better job, I would have stood my ground and said, you know, no, she can quit. If she has a problem with me, she, you know, she's the one who freaked out.
Yeah, I remember having the conversation like, this seems weird. You know, but I'm also like 16 and don't give a shit. So I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Keep brushing your teeth. I'm out of here. You know, it's weird.
Worst job for me. It's kind of a tie between, I was a telemarketer for a summer.
Ugh, I do hate telemarketing.
Was the absolute worst. Like basically had this list of phone numbers. You just went down. When my boss wasn't standing over my shoulder and they constantly, you know, walk around and stand over everybody's shoulder to make sure they're really pushing, you know, oh, buy 5 days of the newspaper, get the 6 day free or some garbage like that.
Yeah.
I would call in different voices. And so as one would expect, you know, you'd get like,
that's great.
Hey, could I interest you in subscribing to the Denver Post?
I what? Like that.
But you get 2 days free.
You do it in Pee Wee Herman.
I do it in any voice I can come up with.
That's great.
Second, they were tied for worst job with that one was, I was a sandwich board for a take and bake pizza place. So one of these early on, like before there was a Papa Murphy's, they had, this take and bake place. One of the first places that I knew that had that sort of thing. So cheap, right? I mean, just basically you don't even need an oven. You just need the tiniest little office space and you can do it.
It's a brilliant idea. If you're early enough, I guess. Yeah.
So I had to walk up and down Sheridan Boulevard, which you Colorado folks know that Sheridan Boulevard is a very, very busy street. And I did that whole stretch along, Sloan's Lake. So back and forth, up and down the street with the sandwich board for like 6 hours. And what was great is that I could listen to my Walkman. I listened to the entire Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy radio show, the entire Star Wars radio show, all that. The worst part of it was that people driving by like to roll down their window and throw things to try and hit the sandwich board.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll hit you.
It's basically like a big target. It's just basically, they could have painted a target on there and it wouldn't have been any more inviting than it already was.
Sure. Yeah. You don't want that. Were you good at like the spinning it and all the jubber jibing?
No. This wasn't a holding. This wasn't like a check out this realty thing. No, this is a sandwich board where basically I'm the meat of the sandwich. There's a sheet of plywood in front of me with the thing on it. There's a sheet of plywood on the back of me with stuff on it, and I just walk up and down the street.
You're like one of the old cartoon, the end is nigh guys.
Yeah, one of those guys. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's awesome. I love that. I wanted to see, do you have photos of this? Do you have any old...
No, I don't. It would have been a bummer. I mean, it's a bummer. I don't have any. It would be great to like be able to show, here was me for a summer. This really sucked. Yeah, like Gene from Bob's Burgers. That's the...
Right. Yeah. Except it wasn't a big, cool burger. It was like just a board, right?
No, it was just a boring sign that said, such and such, take and bake pizza. We make it, you bake it. Burr, 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 burr.
If I was driving by and saw you and I was a teenager,
I would throw
something at the sign. Yeah, I would totally because teenagers are stupid and that's what we do.
And what do people usually have handy in their cars that they're willing to throw?
Yeah.
Pennies.
Oh, yeah.
Pennies. Zing.
Yep. And bing. They do if you do it right, you can really fire those things out, man.
Oh, yeah.
You can cause trouble.
The moving car kind of already helps with a lot of velocity. You don't actually need a lot extra.
Also, it sounds like you've been having some crypto fun. Tell me about your crypto life.
Oh, yeah. So prior to the Turo rental, I did some lifting. And one of my Lyft rides was picking up some people who were in town for a crypto conference. There was this crypto conference that went for over a week. I think it was like a... You know, every day is the same thing. You just come anytime during the 9 days that it was going on.
Right.
And so picked up some people who were going to dinner and then going back to their hotel. So I was taking them to dinner from the crypto conference. Picked them up and they've still got their name badges and stuff. Young couple. They get in the car and the guy says, oh, yeah, there's something I want to show you. And she's like, oh, okay. And so he starts playing a video in the back. All I hear is music of the video. And he's going, see, that's you right there. And that's me. And that's him. And that's you. And then that's me. Oh, and that's you again. And I'm like, what are they watching? And then she says something like, oh, my God, I'm such a funny hamster. And I'm like, oh, You guys watching the Kia Soul commercial from 10 years ago? With the hamsters, like the hamsters driving and jamming out to some music.
Yeah. Wait, did you ask them that?
I did. I said, is that, are you guys watching the Kia Soul commercial?
That's like, great.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Very timely. Jeez.
Yes, they think that I'm completely, you know, like oblivious to what's going on back there. So
hilarious.
Anyway,
I love that.
So, yeah, I dropped them off and I don't think I got a tip, but whatever. I don't care. It's like,
yeah, send you some Ethereum or something.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, whatever. It's fine. You can say, oh my God, is this, did you get a free hamster when you got this? Ha ha ha. I'd be like, yeah, that actually is pretty funny. But to say, that's me, that's you, and that's him, yeah, and that's you again. And it's like, all right, come on.
How
original. Yeah. Hope your money, your investment doesn't tank again.
It's a real bummer that you get such great passengers. You get someone who's a sex worker and has an interesting story to tell. You get some guy who's a rich dude, or no, the adventurer hiker guy that a few months ago, whatever that guy's name was.
Oh, yeah, he was so cool. Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then you get these chuckleheads.
Crypto bro and crypto. What's the bro equivalent of?
What is a bro for? What's a lady bro?
What's a lady? Maybe crypto lady bro is pretty good.
Crypto lady bro. I actually kind of like saying that. Bro. That sounds like fun to say, doesn't it? I like that.
Actually, is she a bra? Crypto bra?
She a bra? Oh, that's terrible. We based it on the bra.
The bra.
All right. Well done, everyone. That's a hilarious story. I love that. All right. Hey, everyone. What if we push this? What would happen then? We'd play Babel Royale / the Morning Half Asses edition, and Brian Dunaway would be joining us. Hi, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Brian Dunaway.
What are you doing?
How are you guys doing on this fine Monday with moderate temperature and clean weather? How's it going?
I wish that was true. Good. I don't have that. We had snow overnight again, and I don't want to go deal with it. So
we're getting your snow later this week. We're supposed to get it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, cleared out by Friday, 50s for the weekend again. We've been having weekends that are like 50, 60 degrees. It is crazy. Totally crazy.
That is
weird.
I'm
in shorts right now.
I can't believe it. It's like weather changes.
It is weird, right?
What is that all about?
You see that any of the video from up in Tahoe? Man, what a freaking nightmare. It's like just blizzard all day up there.
Wow. Yeah.
Like people can't get out or in. It's real bad. Anyway, if you're in Tahoe, good luck. And also, you have too much money. Hey, Brian, let's get to the...
Weather on the 40s here on TMS. Hey,
that's right. You need traffic? Well, go to a different channel. All right. Hey, Brian, will you explain how this game works so that me and Dunaway know what the hell we're doing?
Totally. Yeah. Welcome to the Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian the answers. I'm going to give them a category and six possible answers. You're welcome. Three of which are correct and three that are bogus. Depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if you get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. If you guess one, get it right, you get a point. Two gets you 3 points. Three gets you five. I'm going to add up all those points at the end of the game. And after three rounds, winner wins a prize for their contestant. Who are these contestants, you might ask? Well, I've pulled a couple members of the Tadpool that aren't here to be able to listen live. Scott, you're playing for Jason Grant in Hoffman Estates, Illinois.
Ooh, Hoffman Estates.
Illinois. Hoffman Estates,
Illinois. Whoa, that's fancy. Hello. Yeah,
very fancy. I live in Hoffman Estates. You get off the highway, you actually go through a gated entrance before you're able to enter Hoffman Estates.
Yeah, you'll just tell Philip you know me, he'll let you through.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Brian, you're playing for Tim Moore in Pagosa Springs, Colorado.
All right. To
create an alternative to Hoffman
there
Estates.
You go. That's great.
Look, so boy, it's the riches versus the riches versus the norms. Yep. All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
The 2% versus the 98% and the 4% of the 8%. All right, let's get to your questions here. You guys are both logged in, and let us begin. Question number one. Former names of Mumbai. So the city of Mumbai. Yes. Yeah. Had a bunch of former names, at least three of them. I want you to identify from these six, which are three old names. You got Bangalore, Bombay, Guli, Mumba, Boabaya, and Bumba.
Oh, I thought that was an L.
I'm not totally a Bumba doubt.
It looked like Boabala. to me.
Well, yeah, it's
That eye threw me. Let's see. Really?
Bangalore, Bombay, Guli, Mumba, Boabaya, Bumba.
What? Are you a Sim? Say it again. Like it's just like Sims 4 DLC I'm getting right here.
I know, it feels like.
Wow.
Bumba?
Mumba.
Galuli, Guli. Guli, Galuli, Guli.
Bombay.
There's really three of these? Oh, three Bombay. Of these?
Three of these are real. Yeah.
Bangalore, Bombay. Three of these answers are doing their own thing.
I'm going to just guess two of these. I have freaking no
idea. You both settled in on two. Neither of you settled on the same two. Interestingly enough. Yeah, you've picked between
the
two.
Will the rich keep getting richer?
Four of the six answers, so at least one of you is getting wrong.
Yeah.
Let's see. Brian, you went with Bangalore and Bombay. Scott, you went with Boabaya and Bumba. Bombay, I think, is the easiest one on the list. Bombay was an... Englishization? What is
it? Oh, was it?
I thought it was,
I thought it was just a whole different place. Nah, damn it.
Nope. The answers are...
Oh, Bombay, I was worried about that.
Boabaya and Mumba.
Mumba. I wasn't sure about
Mumba. I love my Mumba. It goes around and vacuums while I'm not worrying about it.
I wasn't sure about Bangalore. But
yeah, that is a whole different place, and I think that's still its name, is Bangalore.
Boabaya. So what happened to the Boabaya people? Why did that change?
I don't know, because I like Boabaya.
Yeah, Boabaya. I like that one. Boabaya. It's fun to say.
Sounds like tea.
All right. Well, I'm sure you guys will do much better with the second question.
Oh.
I certainly did.
All right.
People who played one of the title characters' parents on Friends. You've got Brenda Vaccaro, Ned Beatty, Marlo Thomas, Albert Brooks, Tyne Daly, and Elliot Gould.
Okay.
Three of these people played a parent of a friend.
I know one of these 100% of
the one of them 100%,
and then
for
I'm
some
lost.
Reason, I feel like one of them is right, but I think that's a different
you
show.
You did kind of both settle in on the one you both knew 100%.
Yeah. That one I remember. Yeah. Trying to remember. I'm afraid to click anything else.
I know. Oh, the fear, the fear.
Can't.
You know what? It's a game. I'm just going for two and seeing how I do.
Okay. All right. You both locked in. Yeah. Elliot Gould is the obvious, right? Elliot Gould was Ross and Monica's father.
Yeah.
Marlo Thomas was Rachel's mom.
Shit.
Okay.
That girl. And Brenda Vaccaro was Joey's mother.
Oh.
And so sadly, no Tyne Daly.
No time like the present. That's unfortunate because for whatever reason I've put her face in the show and now I can't undo it. So it's my fault.
And
all right.
It's funny because Albert Brooks feels like he could be.
I know. That's the reason why I kept clicking it. I was like, Albert Brooks, no. Yeah. I don't remember him being in there, but he's definitely seemed like he'd be in it.
He feels like he'd be somebody's dad. Yeah. I just watched.
And I really thought it was Tyne Daly as well, Scott. So
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Brian clicked on it and then unclicked it and then locked in. So it was really close.
I should have just chosen the one. Well, congratulations, Brian. You got a point. That's the important part.
You got a point. Yeah. Going into this last one, who knows?
I risked nothing, just like poor people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor people. Yeah. Nice.
All right. Last question is Beatrix Potter characters. Now, Beatrix Potter, probably most famous for Peter Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of her other characters? Are they Jemima Puddle Duck, Mr. Jeremy Fisher, Mrs. Beaver, Benjamin Bunny, Mr.
Tumnus?
Are any of
these going to get me in trouble?
Right. It looks like it says
going to get me in trouble.
Mountain Tumnus. Like, it completely auto-corrected Mr. Tumnus into Mount Tumulus the Fun.
Oh, perfect.
Mr. Tumnus.
Mr. Tumulus.
I think you guys kind of know that one. And Puddle Glum.
All right.
What's your...
The
Mount Tumulus.
The only one I'm unsure...
I'm not sure about any of them. Shit.
Some of these... Jemima Puddle Duck. Come on now.
Yeah, doesn't that sound right?
It doesn't sound right at all. It sounds wrong.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right, two. I'm doing two again.
Two. Jesus.
All right.
Can Scott I just do none and hope he messes up? All
can
right.
you just skip?
I don't think you can. I think you have to pick. I don't know. Can you lock in? Is your lock button available?
No, it's not available.
No, you got to put one in.
All right, I'm going to take the least amount of that way. At least I'll tie Scott if I get it right. Yeah.
There you go. That's a good opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Tumnus or Mount Tumulus is from Narnia, Scott.
Oh, shit. He's the goat dude.
Shit.
Yeah. You know who else is from Narnia? Mrs. Beaver.
Damn it.
I have mixed these up so hard. Oh my gosh, Dunaway with your 2 points, yes. You bastard.
Just Jemima Puddle Duck, Benjamin Bunny, and Mr. Jeremy Fisher for some reason. I love that one.
Yeah. Really. Mr. Jeremy Fisher for like a bait, but I was almost sure about Benjamin Bunny, but it kind of frightened me.
I at first thought, I'm like, Jeremy Fisher, wasn't that Locke's alter ego on Lost at one point when he goes back to when he makes it back to
Mr. Fisher
world, but that's Jeremy Bentham. I don't know who Jeremy Fisher is, but
something about that name is very familiar to me.
It does feel really familiar, right? That's why I thought it was a joke. I'm like, that's a joke.
Yeah. No, 1906 story called The Tale of Mr. Jeremy Fisher.
That's Jemima amazing. Was popular around the turn of the century, I thought. So I
1908 was The Tale of Jemima Puddle Duck.
Right.
She did a lot of The Tale, right? Because her first thing was The Tale of Peter Rabbit, 1901.
Yeah.
The Tale of Squirrel Nutkin, The Tale of Benjamin Bunny,
Squirrel
The Tale
Nutkin. Of
Mrs. Tiggy Winkle.
Yeah.
Can a squirrel get a nutkin?
Fierce Bad Rabbit, Miss Moppet. These are some great names. The Tale of Samuel Whiskers or The Roly Poly Pudding. 1908.
Yeah. All right. I mean, put a little Jemima in there.
You thought,
what is this?
Comes up with some horrible names. Yeah.
I do like Mount Tumulus. I'm going to go there one day.
Mount Tumulus.
Yeah. Sounds like a great visit. I'm going to say, I will say that I was really hardcore into Lord of the Rings at this point in my life where I should have been reading books like this. Yeah. So everyone in the chat who cannot believe I got Mr. Tumnus in the wrong book, I did not like The Rich, the Wardrobe, and the Wiener, or whatever it was called. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a fan.
Sam, I am.
Yeah. I wasn't either. I had the first book, and I'm like, oh, this is, I'm never reading this.
I know it's really special and important to a lot of people. I'm not besmirching them. I'm just saying I was in a different headspace then and just reading different things. But anyway.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there it is.
Congratulations going to our winner, who is Tim Moore in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Tim, you're going to get a copy of XCOM Chimera Squad and Lethal League Blaze.
Okay, both are great, especially Chimera Squad. A lot of people maybe miss that, thinking, oh, it's just an offshoot of XCOM. I don't need that. It's actually rad.
Nice.
Really good.
But don't worry, Jason Grand, you're not going away empty-handed. You're getting Greek Memories of Azure.
Another cool game.
That's a good one. Spelled G-R-E-A-K.
That's a fun point-and-click deal. Yeah, we talked about that one. That's really good. Nice. I think they're both winners. So in that vein, whoops, wrong one.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
You're both winners, really. But mostly Dunaway is the winner. He clearly ran away with it today, and I appreciate his prowess. Therefore, I will podcast with him tomorrow night, and we will cover Myst, M-Y-S-T, everybody. We're doing the Myst.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Going deep.
So break out your CD-ROMs. We're about to play some point-and-click, Myst.
Yeah.
When Robin and Rand Miller, so when they put out that book, like they actually put out the first novelization associated with the game, I went to the tattered cover for a reading of it, and then got to sit, there were eight of us, right? Because it was like this.
Did one of their brothers read, or was it just nice.
I couldn't tell you which one, but they
look the same.
They do look, well, one of them's the kind of, they're like Abbott and Costello, like one of them is a little bit bigger than the other one.
Right.
Sure. And one of them played the dad in those books, those linking books in the game.
Right.
The other one played the one of the sons.
Oh, right. There's one where they did FMV as if he was behind a door, like a little tiny window, but it was full motion video of him in there, right? Yeah, that stuff was weird.
And that's what used to confuse me back in the day, because I always thought this was, when back in the day before I learned about it, I was like, oh, it's a dad and son thing. I didn't realize it was a brother thing until later, like two or three or something.
Yeah.
It was you find out it's the, like, the third book is the dad.
Yeah.
And then you've got the two brothers, bring only the red page to the pages.
Right. Yeah. That's right. That's anyway, cool.
I loved that game, and I even picked it up on
Good Old Games?
No, picked it up for the Oculus.
Yes.
Oh, I hear that's a good one. Cool. I hear it's a good version.
It is a cool way to play that game.
Yeah, it's almost like what they ultimately envisioned, right? I feel like those guys are just ahead of their time. Yeah. We didn't have the tech then. But
pre-rendered 3D graphics in a VR world, which is rendered 3D, but the way you move is kind of like the teleportation people usually use.
Yeah.
in VR.
Right, so. In VR games where you click in the spot and it moves you after that.
Yeah.
God, that old game, Hypercard Stacks, right? Wasn't the first iteration ever a Supercard or something?
Something like that,
Can't wait to listen to you guys on Play Retro.
Yeah, that'll be tomorrow night, 3:30 Mountain Time if you want to watch us live, or you can catch the podcast whenever you want after that. That'll be tomorrow. Hey, Dunaway, you did great. That rhymed with Faye Dunaway. Kiss our butts, and we'll see you. All right, bye now. Okay, that's the end of Dunaway for now.
And Whit Magus asks, so, question. Once you got through the game, did you feel so cool that you could beat it in like 5 minutes because you knew what you had to do? Yes, until a few, like last year when I got the VR version and I forgot everything. I'm like, oh yeah, don't I have to light a match in the tree to make it go up? And then, oh wait, how do I get back down? And
it's like starting over. It's weird. Yeah. I highly recommend also the remake they made that was full first person 3D move around in the world stuff. That's recent, like the last, I don't know, 10 years or less.
I think it came out around the same time as the VR version. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, when you just, it's like cool.
Use your ASDF or ASDW keys to move around.
Yeah. You just do it like you're playing a shooter, but it has everything that game had, but you're moving in full 3D. Like it feels like the ultimate realization of what they probably thought the future was going to be.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh man, those games are great. Anyway, and Riven, what a sequel. So good.
Riven was good, and I never played, was it Uru was the third?
Uru or crap.
Something like that. And then they had a fourth, like they had something just recently that I think I kickstarted. I have somewhere, which is it was a open world, but not the multiplayer thing they had.
No,
like
it's
Abduction. That's
a great game. I played that as well. Very good. Yeah. If no one's ever tried that, you want to play kind of a modern version with those guys making it. That's it. That's let's do a couple of news stories. We got a couple of them here. Let's do this. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by.
Hey, y'all, if you're into webcomics, my better half has launched her series, NPC, a comic about a game. But more importantly, it's about friendship, love, and petting cows. The first three episodes are live on both Webtoons and Global Comics. If you'd like to read it, check it out on Webtoons at bit.ly/NPC webcomic. It's easy to remember. Mm-hmm. Or Global Comics at bit.ly/NPC Global. So NPC webcomic or NPC Global if you want to check it out.
I like the art a lot. It's great.
And this is not Tina. This is a listener
yes.
who posted this and share your stuff. And I don't know his name, but...
I don't have his name handy either.
Check out her comics.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm looking at the art now. I'm impressed. I haven't been on this site in a while. Oh, they've done some stuff. Well, anyway, that's pretty rad. I like the game. I like the gamer take on it. All right, moving on to probably our only story today. Chick-fil-A. You're familiar with the chicken and the whatnot over there?
Familiar with the Chick-fil-A.
They got the sauce, you know, and the whatnot.
They got the homophobia.
Yeah, the homophobia, the homophobic founder, we should say.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing now. He's probably just...
He's still donating money to LGBT. Shock therapy campaigns or something.
He's a poop. That guy's a poop.
Yeah. Reformatting, reprogramming efforts.
Well, they have a new rule for out of control behavior in any of their restaurants.
Right. Oh, no. Okay.
They're cracking down.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania Chick-fil-A. That's where the American vampires live, is Pennsylvania. Chick-fil-A has laid down the law after disruptive behavior from a young customer or from young customers reached a breaking point. To dine in our restaurant, says the statement, anyone under the age of 16 is required to be accompanied by an adult. That's going to be rough.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But if you're okay, I got a question.
Yeah.
The year is 1985. Brian and I were one of us. I just turned 16. Brian is almost 16.
Yeah,
if I take you in there because I'm 16, am I the adult you're accompanying with as a 15-year-old?
Neither of us are adults.
So they're counting that as... So you
18 is an adult.
Right. So what they're saying is, if you're 16, you're fine. But if a couple of your friends are 15, go get an adult.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Right. So like a 17-year-old... I see what you're saying.
It just seems like a weird number, but Yeah. May as well just say 18. I don't know.
It's right, weird. Exactly. Everybody under, every non-adult must be accompanied by an adult. In any case, this is
it's jank. Stupid. Says, if not accompanied by an adult, they may come in to purchase food, but must take it to go. They said we contemplated.
Stay. By the way, enjoy our playground built into the front of the restaurant.
That's right. Says we contemplated long and hard before posting this, but decided it was time. My guess is they must have had some rough stuff in there. Like, well, you wouldn't do this unless there was a problem. So
exactly. They must be like, you know, close to a school. Kids come out of the school, go there, hang out, you know, nurse a free water for about 2 hours while yelling and doing spit wads at the other
patrons. They claim it included things like volume, they're too loud, and their conversation often contains a lot of explicit language. We are a family-friendly restaurant where this is not tolerated, says the Post. They go on to say mistreatment of property. Food and trash are often thrown around and left on tables, chairs, and on the floor. Tables and restrooms are vandalized, and decorations are stolen. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a problem. I don't know. Like, if I'm running the local franchise and I got a bunch of shithead kids that have nothing better to do than wreck my restaurant, I'm probably having some new rules.
I'm feeling like you could probably just, you know, go up to those kids and say, sorry, you need to leave. You're not welcome here. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. You must leave. And then you see some well-behaved 16-year-old kid come in. They're fine.
Actually, I agree with this. Brian's right.
Yeah.
They'll probably learn this the long and hard way, but they'll learn it. They'll go back to something like that.
They'll done learn it.
Yeah, they done learned it. But yeah, teenagers, we were dicks. Everyone's a dick when they're a teenager. It's what you do. It's part of growing up. I'm sorry to say, like, there are good kids who go through their entire teens, just as happy with their hands in their lap and keeping themselves to themselves and not causing any trouble. But then they turn 30 and become horrible serial killers. I don't know. That's not true.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're fine.
No, you're right.
Like, Carter was never super rebellious, and she's a nice kid. So I don't know.
It all depends on your upbringing and how well you respect authority and stuff like that.
Sure. I never really had trouble with any of the three. Although, you know,
of course you didn't.
For Nick, it was
you raised them in a Norman Rockwell painting.
Nick was. I mean, look, this community, you, all my friends and co-hosts and all that are partially responsible for how well my kids turned out, because they grew up during the thick of all of this and they were exposed to, like, you know, we weren't the parents that didn't understand shit. We knew it all before they did. So they couldn't come in the house and go, Dad, can I have a Snapchat account? And me go, I don't know what that is. That sounds like the devil's handiwork or whatever. I knew what Snapchat was, and I knew what it meant, and I knew all these things before they did, and we were, like, video game cool, and, you know, like, they had very few reasons to rebel in this house, and a lot of it is connected to the greater Frog Pants landscape, which I am ever grateful for. But my point is, for Nick, it was, grades are terrible. Why are your grades so bad? Freaking turn some homework in, you lazy bum. That was Nick. For Taylor, it was, oh, Taylor, she's not mad at you. She likes you just fine. She was always worried about all her stupid. She was always in friend drama all the time. That was her thing. But she was a good kid, but she had a lot of friend drama. Carter, none of either of these things. Grades were great. Super chill. Never rebelled. Was just as happy sitting around watching cartoons with me as she was with a gaggle of friends. Even today, they went sewing and watched anime the other night. Like, what a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, no kidding. The best nerds.
It's the best nerds, yeah. You're right.
The best nerds.
Speaking of the best nerds, we're going to take a break and come back with a great nerd. His name is Steven Schleicher. He comes and joins us on Mondays. That'll all come up right after this break from Brian Ibbett. What do you have there, Brian?
Yeah, Harlem-based Caleb Holly is an American soul singer, songwriter, originally hailing from Minneapolis. This isn't right, though. This is in the email that goes with this song, but this is totally not the right thing.
What the
Hold heck? On a second. Give me a second.
I'm all right.
Do this the backwards way.
All right, we're going the reverse order.
There we go. Okay. You know, it's funny, the band that this was credited with is touring with that last guy that I mentioned, so that's why it came up.
Oh, got it.
It's definitely not soul. Lanterns on the Lake is the name of the band. They've got a brand new album called Versions of Us. Comes out June 2nd via Bella Union. This is the first single from said album. It is called The Likes of Us. Here's the band, Lanterns on the Lake.
Lately I've been on the cusp of it, seeing signs in the intricate, and all those cynics and nihilists couldn't stop me from feeling this.
Ourselves today, I've invited some top jazzercise instructors to join us. Colleen from Omaha, Natasha from Denver, Mark from Toledo, Claudia from Austin, and Linda from Chicago. Blah, 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 blah.
The Morning Stream. Don't impose your values on me, Sam.
And we've returned. Hey, I had this little notepad here with a pen. I'd like to write down the name of that band again.
Why don't you do these things the first time I mention them? Oh, all right. Well, the band is called Lanterns on the Lake. The brand new album is called Versions of Us. That's the first single. It's called Likes of Us. The Likes of Us.
Nice. Seems like a...
The Likes of Us.
Fine use of your time, everybody. Go out there and grab it.
Yeah, do that.
Okay, Major Spoilers is at the plate. He's going to swing hard and to the left. And as soon as we get him in, oh, there he is right there. Here we go. Play this.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
I feel like we had a couple of Mondays in a row where Steven was sick, and then we had no show because I had that dental thing. I feel like we haven't seen Steven in 1,000 years. Steven, do you miss us as much as we miss you?
I know. If I knew that you guys didn't like me, I would think that you were trying to quietly tell me to leave.
Yeah, it would just ghost you over time. Like, oh, these Mondays. You know, I'm going to cancel entire episode just so Steven doesn't come on. No, I love this segment. So I'm really glad we're back to it and we get a chance to hang out. It's been a lot of stuff.
Real quick. Yeah. Let me heap mounds of praise on Carter Johnson.
Do it.
She's been doing a lot of the original art that we give away to our patrons
over on our
Patreon page. And this month she has done an awesome Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur piece.
Mm. I sent a preview to Brian just so he could see what she was up to.
It is so good.
Good. And if people aren't watching the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur series on Disney, it is great.
So
Carter just nails this. And we do this as digital releases as opposed to mail them to you. So they're frame for various screensaver formats or for your little wallpapers or your phone wallpaper or your little icon. If you want to change your icon for the month, either have Moon Girl or Devil Dinosaur. Just great art that she does. So talented.
She does killer stuff for you. Every time she does one of your monthlies, I get all excited. Oh, there's Brian's got like an actual plush. Very nice.
I've got the actual Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur from Lawrence Fishburne from when I was at D23 spreading COVID around to the entire convention last fall.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're the great Brian COVID spread of 2022. That's
of 2022. Exactly.
Yeah.
Patient zero. Sure.
That's great.
Yeah. No, this is
She's a good kid. I found, so while I was going through all those files, I found the very first drawing she's ever done, and I don't know where I put it now, but it's this ancient drawing that is like, she hates it. But I'm like, you have to keep things like this because one day you're going to want to look back and go, wow, look how far I've come, right? So I'm making her keep all her old art. She hates that I'm making her do that, but she has to. It's just my job to make her. All right. Well, Steven, it's good to have you here. We're going to get to a couple of things. Yeah. The Penguin Moving Forward. That's a movie. That's coming out. That's got your Colin Farrell as the Penguin. TV series. That's what I meant. And they've cast Mr. Krabs himself, Clancy Brown. I love him. So what do we know about his role and what do we know about the series right now?
So we don't know a whole lot about the series itself, except it's going to follow the Penguin, Cobblepot, played by Colin Farrell, who will reprise his role in the HBO series. They've cast a bunch of other actors as well, but the one that's just been announced, as you said, is Clancy Brown. He will be playing boss crime lord Sal Maroney, who is a competitor to the Carmine Falcone mob. And Salvatore Maroney is known for one thing, main one thing, and that is disfiguring Harvey Dent.
Oh, in the comics. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
So it just says he's going to be here in multiple episodes over the season. I don't know if this is going to lead to a Harvey Dent type, issue or installment, but you know, the Batman did kind of bring up some of that stuff or lead up to some of that stuff for this series to continue.
Is Matt Reeves involved in the series producing or doing anything?
I can't remember if Matt Reeves, how involved he is. I want to say he's one of the executive producers of the show.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about this. This might be, depending on how good it looks, might be the reason to get me to go back to HBO Max.
Oh, weird. Okay. I mean, the way the potential of a mob, like Gotham's mob stuff, is so deep. It's great. It's like some of my favorite stuff they ever explore. And then how that deals with it. It's like, it's less about Batman and more about just like mob issues. And I like mob TV anyway. I really liked him, and his Cobblepot is freaking great. He's unrecognizable. In that makeup and stuff. So I'm all for this. I'm stoked. And I like Clancy Brown a lot. He can do no wrong, that dude.
Oh, he's great in everything he does.
Yeah. He's good when he cut off Sean Connery's head in the Highlander.
Yeah, he was great in Buckaroo Banzai too.
Better burn out than fade away.
That's right. Yeah, and he was kind of a weird mixed bag in Shawshank, and as far as like good, when is he good and when is he bad kind of stuff. And then my favorite thing maybe ever was his turn on Lost is one of my favorite things. Loved it. It was short-lived, but
Mr.
amazing.
Friendly, no, what was his name? Because he was in the bunker with Desmond and
So that one season that opened with Desmond playing records and doing stuff we couldn't tell what was going on, he was with him then, I think. Mm-hmm. And he was great in that.
He was great.
And he's good as Mr. Krabs. There, I said it.
No, he's great as Mr. Krabs.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm.
If anybody ever gets this chance to watch what's the series? Carnival on HBO. I don't know if they still have it up on HBO Max. He plays this evil preacher dude and is great at it.
Yeah, he's awesome. Love him. Love him and everything. Him, you know what I want a movie? I want a movie with him and Peter Stormare, or however you say his name. get those two together. They're two of my favorite. Like, when they show up, I tune in.
Character actors, yeah.
Yeah, I just go, I'm automatic.
I want to see Clancy Brown and Ron Perlman.
That'd be cool.
Oh, there you go. Jeez.
They probably have, right? Like, it seems like something that's happened. Ron Perlman.
I have no idea, but I would want to see that.
Clancy Brown. Let's just see. Let's just, because this is a match made in heaven. Like, were they both in Pacific Rim or something? No.
Ron Perlman was. I don't know if Clancy Brown was.
Oh, well, anyway. Oh, there's a lot of Clancy Brown versus Ron Perlman threads on Reddit. Who would win? That's pretty funny. All right. Well,
who would win? Does it say?
It doesn't say. It seems like a lot of opinions, but there's no consensus, unfortunately. Yeah. I will tell you what there is consensus on, and that is that Paramount has decided that they're going to end the Star Trek Discovery with season 5. And they also
go out with a 5-year mission, right?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
There you go. Yeah.
Perfect. I'm fine with that. I think that's the perfect amount of time. I know that it's a controversial show for some people. Mm-hmm. I think it has a couple of my favorite Trek things ever in it, which always surprises people. But for me, the character of Saru is one of the greatest characters in Star Trek history. I love the character of Saru, not just because I like Doug Jones or his big, lanky, weird makeup and all that. He's very good at those roles, obviously. But Saru is like top tier for me. There are huge problems with the series. There always have been. It's a little up its own butt. It's a little too much drama.
Every season is the, not just the world ending, the universe ending that they have to stop.
Exactly. But it also brought us the new Pike, and it got him over there doing his own show. Like, there's a lot to say good. And also the effects have always been like top tier, like really great movie level stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably time. It's fine. And on your, you know, it's not like this is getting canceled unceremoniously. They're saying, look, our last season's season 5.
Oh, yeah.
But it means they're pushing their premiere. That's a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
And they've got an opportunity, though, to say, hey, we can finally write an ending. So good.
Right.
So we'll miss the prize.
Right.
They've got most of season 5 already filmed, and they said that it will debut in early 2024. So that could be February, March of 2024 would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool, man. I'm digging it. No word on any other Star Trek stuff other than, I guess, Lower Decks is got a new season coming. Strange New Worlds new season is being filmed now or in post, I think.
It's really weird because it's like at one point, and this was probably like a year ago, I heard a lot of people saying, man, there's just too much Star Trek on right now. Just too much Star Trek.
Have they looked at Star Wars? My gosh.
Discovery's ending. Picard is ending. Who knows what else will be ending soon, but it just feels like Paramount was like, well, if the fans say there's too much Star Trek, let's take it away from them. And
well, in Picard's defense, they always said it was three. They were never going to do more than that. So that was the plan for me from the beginning. They said it outright. But like in the case of Discovery, I don't know what the plan was. The longest any series has ever gone is 7 years. That was TNG, DS9, and Voyager all went seven. Enterprise went four. And this at five feels fine. This is good.
Five is a good number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hell,
yeah.
TOS only went three. Mm-hmm. And that third season was bad. So anyway, that's a thing that's coming. I'll watch this. We've watched it all. I may as well finish it. And yeah, Saru, get your own spinoff. That's what I want next. Get him out.
The doing Saru his own show.
Thing. Yeah, do Captain Saru or something. He's like he's the epitome of what I love about Star Trek. It's like he's strong yet vulnerable. He comes from a race of creatures where their entire race has been held back forever, and he figured out a way to break through. He's got Worf qualities in that way. He's like he's not the typical, whatever the name of their race is. Like Worf isn't the typical Klingon. Like there's just something there. Just love it. Anyway. Let's move on. That's happening. Star Trek's, the next thing is Marvel. Marvel's launching 20th Century Studios imprint. Tell me more.
Yeah, so ever since Disney bought 20th Century Fox or 21st Century or whatever they're calling it, they've acquired a lot of those properties to turn into comic books. We've already had several Alien series and a couple of Predator series. In fact, there's a new Predator series that launches this week, Wednesday, from Marvel Comics. But in April, they're going to take those two properties, Planet of the Apes, and I'm going to guess maybe one or two more 20th Century titles that they want to make comic books out of, and they're going to put them under their own imprint. So you won't see the Marvel Comics Presents. It'll be 20th Century Comics, and then you've got Alien Predator, and at this point, Planet of the Apes, that will have its own thing.
Does this give them
no brand confusion?
Does this give them more leeway in terms of content, being able to just be a little more gritty because Marvel's proper?
I think so. And that's probably a good thing. Marvel has, over the years, I don't want this to sound bad. It's gonna sound bad, but I think Marvel gets very excited about getting a hold of a property, and then they do it for a while, and they're like, "Yeah, this really isn't for us." And that happened big time with the Disney cartoon stuff that they had years ago. Mm-hmm. They did like four or five issues of each of their series, and they're like, "Nah, this isn't for us." And so they're like, "If anybody else wants to do it, they can." So IDW did it. Boom Studios has done it, and so all the properties that got taken away from Boom and Dark Horse and all this other stuff is slowly starting to go back to them. Mm-hmm. Dynamite right now has Gargoyles and Darkwing Duck, which is fantastic. And so I feel like instead of saying, well, let's let other comic book publishers license the IP from us, why don't we just create this other imprint and let them do what they want to do?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. I'm actually stoked about this. I think
the Planet of the Apes, the Planet of the Apes one arrives in April. I think a lot of people are going to be very excited about that.
I think I'm totally into it. And I want all this. Well, I guess we don't have word whether this shows up on their app or not, the Marvel Unlimited.
Oh, thing. I have no idea.
That would be cool.
I'm sure it will.
Because my favorite DC stuff these days is their Black Label stuff, and that's all there as well. And I really hope we see that out of Marvel. I want to, you know, fingers crossed, everybody. But they've been so, like, I don't know, with a very couple of exceptions, very few exceptions, Marvel's been way too, how do I put this, just restrained.
And when you think about who's their owner, there's probably a good reason to that.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason. But, and I get it too, like, keep Marvel proper the way it is. Like, I want Spider-Man to be somewhat of a wholesome superhero cape and cowl kind of experience. I want those things to be what they are, but let in, there's just so much creative content that sometimes requires a slightly higher PG rating that I think is possible in comics. And I just don't feel like Marvel's done much of that since the acquisition. Meanwhile, DC, Dark Horse, and everybody else or Oni Press, and especially Image, they just run away with it. That's all they do. So I don't know. Give Marvel a chance to get back to what was that thing called, Marvel Knights or whatever it was.
Epic. Well, they had Epic, right? Wasn't that a Marvel?
Yeah, that was for a little bit.
Yeah, and that was their kind of racier, more grittier
And then they did have the Marvel Knights stuff in the
Marvel Knights, yeah.
Early 2000s, I want to say.
Yeah. And then they got bought, and then they got clean. They got clean. Yeah. They've been clean for years now. Whatever. I'm not decrying cleanness. It's great. Marvel, you got it. Good job. I just want a little bit of, you know, I want to
give your readers the variety, right? Let them, you know,
yeah, give me Punisher.
We'll take a guy's head off, or we want to just see,
exactly.
Scott and Jean Grey kiss, you know, let him give us the choices.
I want Punisher the way he's meant to be. Sure. I want Deadpool the way he's meant to be. I mean, just that kind of stuff, right? Or Blade, give me Blade, but don't be holding back. Like, go nuts. He's a vampire that slices heads off of other vampires. It's great.
Or you can go check out the adventures of his daughter. What is it called? Blade Bloodlines.
Blade Jr.
Out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it follows Blade's daughter.
Wow. And what's her name? Do we know her
Bladelet.
Name? Bladelet.
I just put up the sneak peek for tomorrow. I forgot what her name is, but she is also a daywalker.
Yeah. Oh,
Butterknife.
Really? Butterknife. Butterknife? Because it's the duller, not trained blade. She's not quite there yet.
Exactly, yeah.
I'll read Butterknife, no problem. Bring it on. All right. This is all good. Always fun stuff going on in culture, and especially around comics and stuff. And if you want to follow MajorSpoilers.com, you should be if you aren't already, plus all the great shows and all that stuff. Steven, anything happening this week you would like listeners to know about?
This week, I'm telling you, if people want a fantastic adventure set in the early days of World War II, where some spies are punching Nazis in the face and fighting Cthulian monsters, then you definitely want to check out our brand new season of Critical Hit. We're two episodes in. Episode 3 drops on Saturday, and people can get in on all the action, and it's a lot of fun. I'm really, really excited about it, and I hope that we can get several hundred thousand listeners to start listening to this, because I'm very, very excited about it.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
Critical Hit is the name of the show. You can find it on all the podcast players, specifically this one. On the listing, you will see it listed as PAN, because I'm not putting Nazis in a title on anything that's going to get me banned.
Yeah.
But know in your hearts that PAN means Punch All Nazis.
Punch All Nazis. How about Blade Lass? Can that be her name?
Blade Lass. I was thinking She Blade.
Oh, She Blade's not bad.
Or Blade-let. Shiv.
Oh, Shiv. I like Shiv a lot.
Shiv's awesome, actually. That's a good.
Oh, Dice Station Zebra did already say She Blade. All right. I didn't see that. I swear to God, I didn't see that.
She Blade. Shiv is legit, though. That'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
She's a little darker. Shiv.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her name is it Braille? BRIELLE.
Braille. Is that the name of the, like, will the comic be called Braille if she was in her own?
No, it's Bloodline, Daughter of Blade.
Oh, because we don't want to confuse blind people. They're just like,
no.
You know, Braille. I was told this was Braille. Braille. No, not that kind of Braille. Anyway, Steven, always a pleasure. Have a fantastic week. And everybody look for him. He's Major Spoilers everywhere. We'll see
you later. Stay hydrated, everyone.
Oh, yeah, stay hydrated. Bye now.
Yay.
I got a water right here. Big, tall one.
And
I refilled it. Okay, Claire? Hey, Claire, this was a water bottle that I got and then used, drank everything, and then I refilled it with tap water. Well, water from the fridge, the purified stuff. But it's not, I just want to make sure she knows. I'm not like,
oh, that she's not, that doesn't think that you're buying new plastic bottles to litter the world with plastic bottles.
You got
to
be careful with her. She's like a Wolverine. She'll tear you to pieces if you don't.
I know. But don't worry, Claire. As soon as he finishes that water, he's going to go outside and kill a cow.
Damn straight. I already got a bowl of killed cow. I'm going to put kimchi on later.
That's true. Killed cow and cabbage.
Yep. Looking forward to that. All right. Let's see.
Sorry, bio cow.
Where is this? Oh, here is this. Okay, we're now going to play this because this is what we're doing. Oh, you know this. You know this stuff right here.
Listen
to this. One of the most slapping things ever made.
App slappy.
Man, it's my favorite thing Eric ever did.
So good.
We're going to do App Slappy. What is that you say? Well, Stephanie Pets, leave the room because we're about to talk about apps.
She's already gone.
Oh, she's out of here?
Okay. Yeah, she's out.
We're going to talk about apps, and I'm going to start with an app that is, this is a little bit of a cheat, but I've been playing a ton of it lately because they also released it on Steam. The only complaint I have about it is that there's no cross save between the Steam version and the mobile versions.
Oh, bummer.
I would love that if you could log in and just share saves. That would be really cool. And maybe they're working on it. I don't know. But the game is called Card Crawl Adventure. I may have even talked about it on the show before. It's entirely possible I did. Mm-hmm. And Here, I'll get a little video up.
I know we've talked about it. It may not have been for App Slappy, but you and I have both talked about how great this game is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we're fans of the original Card Crawl. Brian and I, we also played, what was that Thief one?
Card Thief.
Amazing follow-up to this. Well, this
wasn't there a Thief game with cards?
Something like that. This is another in the line of the Card Crawl games, the second, I guess, in fact, and it's been years since the first one. This one is a combination, I would say, of the original Card Crawl and of the new game, the Card Thief. It's very much a marrying of those two game styles, and it does so really deftly. It's an amazing, really great time when it was on mobile, perfect mobile game, great tablet game, like just a fun game. So when it came out on Steam, I was like, "All right, freaking, I love this so much. I just want to play it all day." And so I thought, well, now why not just recommend it in general here one more time? It is available on iOS and Android, and the Steam version is excellent. I'm happy to report. Also runs extremely well on the on Mac. I have not tried it on Steam Deck because in that case, it's not controller. It doesn't use a controller. You'd have to use like the little thumb
touch thing. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it does full touch the way your phone does. So if you're going to do it portably, I would recommend phone. If you're going to do it on computer, obviously Steam's place to do it. And it's cheap. It's like $4. Now, herein lies my only complaint. It's $4 on Steam, but on mobile, it's free. And then there's unlockable crap that you can pay for. I would much rather they just sold it for $4 on mobile. I don't know why anyone, no one does that anymore, and it bugs me. I'm sure there's market reasons why they don't do it anymore, but I wish they would. The game's pretty simple. You bring up a grid of cards, 9 of them, in these different taverns that you go to, and the cards range from everything from like weapon cards to defense cards to health regeneration cards, and then lots of enemies. And your goal is to kind of trace a path from card to card and take out as many enemies as possible while not losing too much of your own life and also gaining loot or whatever items you're trying to capture on the grid. And if you kill these enemies, they disappear, they go away. If you don't, they get reshuffled into your deck, and you do 3 shuffles worth of gameplay throughout the entirety of the game. And it is one of the best little loops I've found in years. You unlock all kinds of like runes and bonuses and stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of a, you know, it's a roguelike in terms of game type, but, it's done in such a way that I think a lot of people find this fresh and new. You have an inventory where you can keep items that you've unlocked, and those add all sorts of bonuses to what you're trying to do and pull off. I love the art style. This developer's never led me astray. I like everything he's ever done. I think it's just one dude too. I think he's a dude.
Seems like it, you know, just one guy who's got this aesthetic and love it.
Yeah, and they've all been good. Like, never made a bad game, as best I can tell. So check it out. Available now on all the platforms, everything but consoles, I guess. But if you want it on PC, it's now available. It's excellent there. And if you prefer the mobile versions, they were already good. And that one's free. So go search for it and find it today.
Very cool.
All right, Brian, what'd you bring?
My game is called Farmside.
Oh!
So, you know, I'm a fan of these little build your little world, your little community, your little town, your little life, grow things, sell things, eat things and make things, etc.
Also a fan of those things. I love that stuff.
Yeah. And this is one that you and I both discovered independently and would have probably both used for this if we hadn't figured out that we were both playing it.
Yeah.
This is a brand new one. It's on Apple Arcade. I don't think it's anywhere else. It's done by a group called The Label, and the only place I've been able to find it is Apple Arcade. But maybe they'll come out with an Android version or something.
Well,
else.
It depends on their deal. Like, so Apple Arcade, the rule is nobody else on mobile gets it for a certain amount of time.
Gotcha.
And I think it's a year or something. So they'll have exclusivity for mobile for a year, and then if this ends up anywhere else, they'll either have to wait for that or they'll do a PC thing or something. Who knows?
Gotcha. Well, and it's worth it. If you've got, like, I think this thing is gorgeous on iPad. It might be a little small on the iPhone, but I just found out they've got, you can also play on an Apple TV, which is kind of cool. Yeah. So
yeah,
feels like a good iteration as well. So basically, yeah, you're basically building a farm, and this is kind of your farm, typical Farmville kind of stuff. But you've got, a much more leveled campaign through all this stuff. I don't know why Farmville never felt like it was this thought out or this planned.
Well, plus Farmville was always like, hey, if you want to hurry this up, you can give me a buck.
Well, yeah, the buying crystals, the microtransactions. This has no microtransactions, thank goodness.
Yep.
It's specifically for Apple Arcade where you don't have to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a really, really well laid out, well put together game. And I got to say, I've basically completed it as far as I can, with the exception of leveling up to level 35. I'm level 31 and I've completed all the quests. So I'm just waiting for an update or an expansion or something. But,
so you've unlocked all the land masses and stuff.
I've unlocked all the closed off lands. I can make just about everything. There's a coffee thing that I can't grind coffee yet because there's a table I can't use to grind coffee, but I think you get that maybe with the next expansion or something.
Hmm.
But
interesting. Yeah. So that's good to know. They got some future plans.
Yeah, probably. And Weasel One says game makes me want to play Stardew Valley, which I think this is probably closer to Stardew Valley than Farmville.
Especially in one sense, you actually kind of, it's not exactly the same, but you do have relationships that you deal with. Like, it's not dating or whatever. You don't marry any of these people, but you're trying to improve your reputation with individual people.
People who come and give you tasks and stuff like that.
And like
that.
This guy that drives the truck for you, you get points with him. You get points with the lady that's all concerned with chickens and whatever shit she does.
And the weird random people that come to your town that want a specific kind of food.
Yeah, that is weird. Those guys are weird.
It's like some dude with fishnet stockings and a suit blazer. And
his name's like Chad and he wants like... He wants like
I'd
a waffle.
Like a Black Forest cake, please.
There's all those recipes. I haven't done much with the whole unlocking all the recipes that you get at the barn with the star points or whatever.
Yeah, I only get the ones that I'm required to get because it advances me through the through the game. But
yeah, I concur with Brian. It's a very good one of these without all that shit we associate with them. It doesn't have any microtransactions, zero ads, which is an Apple TV, or it's an Apple Arcade thing, which means they require that. And to be able to play that without all that other shit, it reminds you that there's something to this game type that is kind of wonderful, but we've ruined it over years, or at least we've ruined the attitude around them. And this is really fun that way. I like it.
It is. Yeah, it's really well done. And even the things that, you can wait the 15 minutes for your clover to grow, or you can use a speed up, which will make it happen instantly. You get those speed ups constantly from giving Chad, Black Forest cake, or any of the other people who visit your town, giving them the meals they request. So it's a very, very quick, it's very easy to earn those power-ups that you can use to speed up your food creation if you need to.
Sure, sure. Yeah, this is a good game. If you have Apple Arcade, no-brainer. If you don't, you're going to have to wait.
Gonna have to wait.
Yeah, it'll probably show up in other places, though. These often do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Eventually.
Hopefully we get an expansion soon, because I've basically said, okay, completed it, back to Marvel Snap.
Yep. If you want Brian out of Marvel Snap again, you better get your ass in gear, guys who made this game. All right, well done. So those two games, again, are Card Crawl Adventure and Farmside. Don't ever say we didn't tell you what we watched or looked at.
Shit out of luck.com.
Shit out of la la la. All right, let's get it to the end of the show here. I want to remind everybody, only watch the new Chris Rock hour-long comedy special on Netflix. Only watch it if you're dying to hear his
whatever his take is on the Will Smith business. That is the only reason I would recommend it. And if you don't, I think I would avoid it. Mm-hmm. Because, man, Brian, I thought I okay, let me back this up. I thought Chris Rock was gonna just let it slide. Not slide, yeah. but just like yeah. make a couple references, ha ha. Like he was making some jokes about something with a rapper. I think it was Jay-Z or something on this special. Sure, yeah, and in the middle of it, he goes, look, I don't need any more rappers mad at me. And everyone laughed because they get the reference. Will Smith punched you and they get it, right? Mm-hmm. I thought he would just kind of let that ride and that would be the joke. And he would talk about other stuff. The yeah. whole back end of his stand-up, this new special on Netflix, not the whole back end, but the last, let's say, 10 minutes or something, mm-hmm. is nothing but him going off hardcore really? On Will Smith really? And Jada Pinkett oh, Smith. Okay. Like not no hatchets buried. This yeah. instead was, here's my hatchet, but also I'm going to dig up four more hatchets, and then I'm going to take those hatchets, throw all of those at you, and then go find additional hatchets after that. That's how Where it is.
Please build more hatchets.
Yeah.
Construct more hatchets.
The net effect for me was, I don't care where anyone stands on this. I don't even really have a strong stance either way about what happened yeah. at the Oscars, but I ended up, it kind of ruined the stand-up for me.
Really?
Because it felt really mean and petty, and I actually kind of
I think
he makes a good point. He's just so like millionaire men who are mad at each other.
Yeah.
It comes off just so petty and dumb. I can't do it.
Could someone who's a fan of his stand up watch it right up until the stuff that's off stage?
Yes.
And say, cool, done.
Yes.
And
if you like Chris Rock,
not interspersed or anything.
Yeah. If you like Chris Rock, you already know what you're in for. It's going to be a little raunchy. It's going to be super sweary and all that. And you're going to get social commentary and some stuff that he's good at. And you're going to get to that point and you're going to think, oh, okay, I just watched a Chris Rock concert. Mm-hmm. But then you're going to get to that last bit where it comes up and you can actually see how visibly angry he is.
Wow.
And I'm not used to seeing that. Like comedy is for getting up and letting loose and everything's, you know, we're going to punch up and, you know, that's just the fun of comedy. It helps us deal with hard stuff in a funny way. This wasn't that at the end. It was, I won't say it's mean spirited because I think he actually had a point, but it kind of ruined the point of having a comedy special. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Kind of.
Yeah. Make it a separate thing. Right. A separate little interview or something.
Yeah. So there's my hot take for everybody. Dean has a quick question. He's talking about Bowser. He says, hey, guys, just wanted to let you know that there is no game that I can think of where you jump on Bowser's head three times to defeat him. Please correct me if I'm mistaken. Love the show, Dean. I don't think that's true. I think there are many times.
I thought so, too. Yeah, I know that, you know, in one of them, you're basically pulling the bridge out from under him so that he falls in the lava. But there's what's the game that where you battle all of the Bowser children, like Wendy Koopa and
Super World, I think Super Mario World
might be World or Super Mario 3.
Yeah.
But in each of those, you have to stomp on each of their heads three times.
Yeah.
And then I think you do the same for Bowser at the end, don't you?
I'm pretty sure you do. And I think that's true in Mario 64. I think it's true in the 3DS game that I loved so much. Mm-hmm. I can't find this. Oh, this is just music. I was trying to find the actual fight. Yeah, it's going to be here it is. Super Mario 64 Final Bowser Fight. Okay, there he lands. Let's just see what happens here. Yeah, you do a lot of other shit. So if what he means is just bonk, 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 he's dead. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. But ultimately, you got to do. It's the law of threes is the trick here. So even if it's not jump on his head three times, it's swing and throw him into a bomb three times, or it's do another thing. And it's always like the third time you got him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's that. Controversy will continue until we figure it out.
Somebody, Mario 64, you throw Bowser at bombs? Is it bombs at Bowser?
You throw Bowser at bombs. You grab him by the tail and you swing really hard.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
But you have to do a bunch of dancing around.
Throw things at Bowser.
You got to avoid all his poo before that, but then you throw him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is my memory. It's been a while since I've played Mario 64, but what a game.
All right. Thank you for that, Dean. And we'll look deeper into it. If you guys have a thought, question, or comment, you can text us like Dean did at 801-471-0462. You can also call and leave voicemails there. Or if you'd rather, email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. I would like to welcome some brand new patrons to the show.
Hey.
Holly. Do. Listen, these are great names. Holly Cuppy.
Oh, we know Holly Cuppy.
We do.
Yeah.
Josh McCurry. We also know that person.
So.
Barlow Ryan, never heard of him, but he sounds great. Ender Panda. That's cool.
I'm going to hear a request later this week from Ender Panda.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, then thank you for the sub. And also Amir Bayrakatorgtoglu.
Wow.
Just let that sit there.
Emery Bayrakatorgtoglu. Bayrakatorgtoglu.
Yeah, I think you're as close as we're going to get. Yours is better than mine.
Bayrakatorgtoglu, yeah.
Anyway, Amir, thank you for joining the show. We mean it. And you're all going to benefit now from never hearing a commercial or an ad. You're never going to have to deal with that. Pre-show content every day. You're going to get couch parties and play dates on weekends. You're going to get art in the mail. You're going to get other online benefits that you can only get by being a patron. So join up today, won't you? Patreon.com/TMS. And I'm also doing more contests over there for just free stuff that no one else gets but you guys. So watch for it.
Very cool.
All right, Brian, I think that's it unless you've got anything else. Do you have anything else?
I got nothing else. Nothing.
Okay. Good.
New soundography going up today, but I couldn't tell you what it's going to be. Could I? Can I tell you? What is it going to be? What's it going to be? Oh, shoot. I don't know which order we did these in. I think it's going to be Vince Clark. So Depeche Mode, Yaz, and Erasure, the three bands that Vince Clark was part of. We're going to be talking about all three of those.
I didn't know. Okay, now hold on. This is blowing my mind because back when we were young, there was an awful lot of times where you would hear Yaz or you would hear Erasure and you would get them confused.
Yes, similar sound. Because Andy Bell's voice sounded a lot like... what was her name?
Forgot her name. The Yaz lady.
Shoot. Yes.
Yasmeen.
I'm not going to cut. If you ask me this without the pressure, come up with it instantly. Coming up with it now.
Yeah, I can't think of it either. But Alice
Moye, thank you, Bobby.
There you go. Yeah. So hearing those two, obviously their voices are very familiar, but I didn't know there was also production similarity.
If you listen to that first Depeche Mode album, Speak and Spell, Vince Clark is all over that album with the arrangement and writing. It feels like if you just replace, so that was the album that had Just Can't Get Enough on it,
right,
by Depeche Mode, with the happiest you've ever heard Depeche Mode. There are other songs on that sound just like Yaz, and they're early Erasure things that sound just like Yaz. I mean, it dovetails so beautifully from one band to the other that you can't tell where one begins and the other ends, except for the vocalist being different.
Yeah, it's so weird. But that's good, though. Like, it's just consistent. It is. You know, it's
very fine. Good. Yeah.
All right. Watch for that. Soundography coming up.
That'll be soundography.com probably at some point today.
Excellent. Now take us out with a song choice of your own choosing.
Yes. Yes, Zoe, we do mean Yaz, and that was Alison Moyet. I'm not sure what you heard that disagrees with the sentence you just typed in chat.
Yeah, we said anyway, yes. Didn't we say yes?
We totally said yes.
Yeah, we said yes.
Depeche Mode, Yaz, and Erasure. Yeah. Yazoo in the UK, Yaz in the States.
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Now I'm learning a new thing.
Yeah.
Yazoo? Really?
Yeah. Yazoo is the UK version of Yaz, or the UK name of Yaz.
Oh, maybe you've told me this before.
Because there already was a Yaz.
Yeah. I think you maybe told me this and I've forgotten, but it's...
They had to be Yazoo outside of the US, Yaz in the US, because there already was a Yaz or something.
And ABBA was Stabba over there.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Or Saint Abba.
Saint Abba, Always do the Saint Abba if you can't help it.
You
anyway.
Don't see the period, it's Stabba. Hey, Leah wrote in and said, it's my birthday, hooray! This actually was for last week, March 2nd. Last year was a big bummer of a birthday, so I'm hoping for better this year. Last year, Spotify told me that I listened to a lot of John Williams and Witcher soundtracks, mainly the games, not the TV show. So any cover of any of that will do. Thanks. Heart emoji. Leah.
Oh, I love it. That's great. You sound like me. That's the kind of stuff I listen to on my streaming.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Good background music. Good getting stuff done music.
Sure.
This probably straddles more of the TV show than the video game. I can't remember if this song was in the video game as well, but I know it was in the TV show. It is Throw a Coin to Your Witcher.
Oh, nice.
Covered by the great band First to 11. We love these guys. These guys are so good. 2020, they released their sixth volume of cover songs. This was included in there. Here is First to 11 and Throw a Coin to Your Witcher.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
When a humble bard graced to ride along with Geralt of Rivia, along came this song. White wolf fought a silver-tongued devil, his army of elves at his hooves did they revel. They came after me with masterful deceit, broke down my lute and they kicked in my teeth. While the devil's horns minced our tender meat, and so cried the witcher.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Take your hands off me right now.
Okay.